in the series. So turn in your Bibles to Genesis 24. And Steve's going to come up and help me with the reading of this because it's quite a long passage. Thank you so much, Steve. Really appreciate you helping with this. But it's been an amazing series. And I want to say thanks again to Tim as I was heading to Ethiopia. And Tim was carrying the bulk of the preaching. God really put this on his heart. And it's just seemed so timely with this emphasis on faith. One of the big things that God really spoke to me about while I was away in Ethiopia as well. So, hey, as we just end this series on steps of faith, let's be really attentive to say, God, how do you want our faith to grow? And how do you want our faith to be expressed in these coming days? So Genesis 24, it's page 23 in your Bibles. I want to just draw your attention to the fact that in chapter 25, which we're not going to read, but in verse 7, it does say this: although Abraham lived 175 years, then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age. This is the final chapter, as it were, in Abraham's life, but still there are things to learn. So Steve and I are going to share the reading, and I think Steve's going to start, and then I'm going to pick up a bit, and then we'll do a tag team. So thank you so much, Steve. And Steve's wearing that yellow badge because he oversees our prayer team, and our prayer team is usually going to be available after the service as well for prayer. So thanks, Steve.
Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites."
Steve, can I get you to use this mic?
I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. The servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country that you came from?" "Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abraham said. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from the oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore on oath to him concerning this matter.
Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the women go out to draw water. And then he prayed, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. And she went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please, give me a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. And after she had given him a drink, she said, "And I'll draw water for your camels too until they've finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. And when the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a becker and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. And then he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, born to Nahor." And she added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder as well as a room for you to spend the night." Then the man bowed down and worshipped the Lord, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives."
The girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother called Laban, and he hurried out to the man at the spring. As soon as he'd seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms, and had heard Rebekah tell what the man said to her, he went out to the man and found him standing by the camels near the spring. "Come, you who are blessed by the Lord," he said, "why are you standing out here? I prepared the house and a place for the camels." So the man went to the house, and the camels were unloaded. Straw and fodder were brought for the camels, and water for him and his men to wash their feet. Then food was set before him, but he said, "I will not eat till I've told you what I have to say." "Then tell us," Laban said. Next section, David's already read the story that the servant now shares, that tremendous story. So we'll jump from there to verse 48. "And I bowed down and worshipped the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, so I may know which way to turn." Laban and Bethuel answered, "This is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you, one way or the other. Here is Rebekah, take her and go. And let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed." When Abraham's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Then the servant brought out gold and silver jewelry and articles of clothing and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night there. When they got up the next morning, he said, "Send me on my way to my master." But her brother and her mother replied, "Let the girl remain with us 10 days or so, then you may go." But he said to them, "Do not detain me. Now that the Lord has granted success to my journey, send me on my way so I may go to my master." Then they said, "Let's call the girl and ask her about it." So they called Rebekah and asked her, "Will you go with this man?" "I will go," she said. So they sent their sister Rebekah on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the gates of their enemies."
Then Rebekah and her maids got ready and mounted their camels and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebekah and left. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahoi Roi, for he was living in the Negev. And he went out to the field one evening to meditate. And as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, "Who is that man in the field coming to meet us?" "He is my master," the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. And Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah. And he married Rebekah. And so she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. What a wonderful story and delightful characters. And so let's pray and ask that God would open our eyes as we look into this passage together this morning. Father, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for the stories in it, just so vivid stories. And Lord, I pray now, speak to us, Lord. Speak to us and guide us, Lord, as you guided the people in the story. Speak to us and stir faith in us, Lord, that we might take steps of faith, I pray. For I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder this morning whether you're looking for guidance in any way. Perhaps you're a parent and you're looking for guidance on how best to help your children. Or maybe you're in the workplace and your boss has kind of asked you to do something and you're thinking, how on earth am I going to get this done? It seems like an impossible task. And you're just there at work or even as you journey into work praying, God, help me know how to do this today. Or maybe you're single and you're thinking, Lord, help me find a spouse. I want to be married. And, maybe you're looking for guidance even on who to marry or something like that. Well, there's a lot of people in this passage who find that the Lord guides them. And in fact, here's the amazing thing in this passage, is that these people all have, in their trusting of God to guide them, they're trusting and growing in their faith too, of what God is able to say to them and how he's able to lead them. And if we're going to be looking to God for guidance, we need to be having faith that he can guide, that he is able to direct our life. And then you know what I find? That as people step out in faith as God guides them, their life has an impact on others. And that life that they impact is also then strengthened in its faith, and it is guided by the Lord and has an impact on another life. It's a domino effect, if you like. And I love dominoes. I used to love when I was a kid getting them all up and lining them all around. I don't know if you ever played, not dominoes the game, but the kind of domino effect as things kind of go. And you see that in this passage, the domino effect of Abraham's life touching the servant's life, servant's life touching Rebecca's life, and on and through the passage. And I hope and pray it will touch our life today. So, do you know what I mean, the domino effect? Here's a little YouTube clip to get you inspired about a bit of a domino effect that could go on, I believe. Here we go. Thanks so much, Andre. Body lost, looking to get found. Knowing when they hear the champion sound. Works like a magnet on the people all around. Knowing when they hear the champion sound. Anybody loving music up in your town. Knowing when they hear the champion sound. Now you've got them all on your iPod. There you go. You can play dominoes with them. The domino effect. And so the first domino I want to talk about in our passage this morning is Abraham. Abraham was a character in the Bible full of faith. He's like the hero of faith. And as we look in Genesis 24, we discover that Abraham is making this kind of strange request of this servant. And it's a request that comes out of concern for his family. He knows that who his son Isaac marries is really an important issue. And he makes a request of his servant to make sure that he goes and gets a wife from his own people, not from the Canaanites. Remember, Abraham's living in the land of Canaan. And he also doesn't want to take Isaac. Look at verse 4. But will you go to the country and my own relatives and get a wife for him there? And then the servant says, well, what if they're not willing to come? And he says, well, make sure you don't take Isaac out of the land too. He wants to see Isaac's family established in the land of Canaan as well. And why is that? Why is Abraham concerned about these things? Well, it all stems from what God has revealed about himself to Abraham. You see, Abraham's life has been impacted by divine revelation. Look at verse 7 with me. Abraham said to him, the Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying to your offspring, I will give this land. He will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. Abraham's discovered something about God and how God has led and how God has spoken in the past. And that is now guiding him as he then looks to take this step of faith. And I want us to see in these characters that we're going to have two things all the way through here. We're going to have them guided by something. We'll come to that in a bit. We'll have them guided by something, but then we're going to have them making a step of faith in some way as well as they go forward. So the first thing with Abraham is that he's guided by divine revelation, by the word of God that was spoken to him. And you know, for us too, if you're looking for guidance in your life, you can turn to the scriptures. How God has revealed himself, what his promises are, what his purposes are. And that will guide and shape how your life can unfold. And in the, it builds faith too. It doesn't just guide you, the scriptures. They build faith in you. Look at what Abraham's discovered about God as God's spoken to him back in verse 7. That he's the God of heaven. That he's the God who has spoken and made promises to him and kept those promises. That he's the God who commands angels, all in verse 7. Do you not think that this is a God who can guide you in your situation? Do you not think this is a God who can provide for you in your situation? And so with great faith, he releases the servant. But that is no small thing. Read back in verse 2. Who is this servant? He said to the what? Look in the passage, verse 2. He said to the chief servant, this is his best servant. And he's not just sending him off. He's sending him with money and goods. And you imagine the kind of sending him off into the kind of the desert and the wilderness to go find this wife. He might never come back. And Abraham's getting old. You know, his best servant is probably someone quite special to him. And yet he releases him. He takes a step of faith. And folks, often we hold on to things until it's too late. The reality is we have to release everything one day when we die. Everything, all our position, all our influence, all our money, all the people around us, there's a sense of a release that comes when you die. But all too often we don't release before then. We try and cling onto our wealth, onto our position, onto those around us, rather than having a heart that releases. You see, it takes faith to release. But we'll make that step of faith when we discover more of who God is and what he's done through his word. So I commend to you this book. Get into this book and let it impact your life. And then your life will impact others. So without doubt, Abraham had faith. And I am sure, and you see even in this passage, that Abraham's faith impacted and had a domino effect on the servant. Let's look a little bit more of that YouTube clip, if that's okay, Andre. Here we go. The dominoes continue to fall, and you know, they keep on going. There we go. And it's amazing, isn't it? The movement that you get with the domino effect. And I want to encourage you that this passage has a lot of movement in it. So let's look at the servant now as we keep going on with second domino. So look with me at the servant, and I want you to see two things here about the servant. The servant is guided as he seeks to live out his faith as he prays. So look at verse 12. The servant goes and he says, he prays, O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. And then he makes a very specific request that this girl will come and that she'll not only offer him a drink, but offer his camels as well. And then he kind of will know if that's how God answers prayer, that that's the way he's going to guide. And I want to say again, this is great policy for finding guidance. Not just look in God's word. Do that, but also pray about it. And make your prayer specific. And as you see a specific answer to prayer, then you can know, wow, God is guiding in this circumstance. And if he doesn't, then you know that's not where he's guiding. It's a wonderful principle that the servant you know, lives on. That's one of the reasons we're taking time on Thursday to really pray and cry out to God. And then that the servant, as he's speaking out to God in prayer, as that's how he's kind of looking for guidance and waiting for that answer, he's also then rehearsing what he's going to say to this stranger. Sometimes hard, isn't it, to even speak to our friends, let alone strangers, about the things of God and what God said to us and what his purposes are. But this servant, he takes that step, having seen God answer prayer, of speaking out. And I want to ask you this morning, are you speaking out? to those that God has maybe given you opportunities to speak to? And are you praying for those opportunities? And then when you see them come along, are you taking them? One of the things I found a great thing to pray is just, God, give me opportunity to speak to someone about you today. And then I've also found that someone once told me that the best spontaneity is rehearsed. Can you say that with me? The best spontaneity is rehearsed. Okay? So if you're praying for an opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus, and suddenly that situation arises where someone says, so why do you believe that? Or why do you go to church? Or why do you do this as a family? Or and then you have an opportunity to say, well, because it's about, you know, our faith in Jesus, or it's because of what he's done. What are you going to say about Jesus that is attractive to that person? What does Jesus mean to you that you're carrying with you today? So I often carry with me in any given day something about Jesus, that he is my strength, or he's my support, or he's my helper, or that, you know, he's good. And I then am able to have opportunities to share that. The other day, this week, I just had this wonderful thought that Jesus is good above all others. And I found that God gave me numerous opportunities to just tell that to people. That Jesus is good above all others. So are you praying and looking for guidance? But then are you prepared in what you're going to say? Because speaking out is a step of faith. And I'll tell you what, if we all took that step of faith of speaking to the people that God gave us, this city would begin to start changing. So let's learn from the servant as he's impacted by the faith of his master. And we can see verse 27, how much he's giving praise to God as he replies. He says, praise to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. You can begin to see the impact that Abraham's faith had on the servant. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives. So, second domino was the servant. And the third domino now, as the man encounters Rebecca, is Rebecca herself. And you get this amazing interaction with this young woman. And he then starts saying and sharing the story, not only with Rebecca, but with Laban and Laban's Rebecca's brother, and Bethuel as well. And again, what we see here is that the servant starts testifying about what God has done. He says in verse 34, when Laban says, go on, tell us then what happened. And he said, well, I'm Abraham's servant. And he goes on, he just tells the story. That's the bit that Steve skipped, but it's exact repeat. He just says, well, this is what happened. And I said, there's nothing like the testimony of others to build faith in us, but also to guide us. And so we see here that Rebecca, as she hears the testimony of the servant, she kind of herself responds to that. And of course, the testimony is that God has answered prayer and that God has been faithful to Abraham. And the impact of these lives starts cascading down. And so look with me here at verse 50. Laban and Bethuel answered, this is from the Lord. They hear the testimony and they then testify and say, God's in this. And if you're looking for guidance and God's been speaking something to you, why not share it with someone else? Wise men and women of God who can then say, you know, yeah, this is from God. Or maybe they'll go, you know what? That just sounds strange. I wouldn't do that. And that's the way you can get guidance as you weigh things with others, but also as others share something that God has done in their life. Maybe that triggers something in you and you think, you know what? I could do that too. Or I could respond in faith in this way. And so lives are impacted one after another. So what does Rebecca do? Well, she goes, oh, that sounds very interesting. Yeah, I just need to sort of wait and see if, you know, this is right or whatever. No, look what she says. I think this is a remarkable woman of faith right here. She's kind of, they ask her, do you want to go now or do you want to go later? And look down in verse 58. They say to her, will you go with this man? And she says, I will go. Imagine that for Rebecca. She's about to go with a servant who she's only just met the other day to a place she's never been to before, to marry someone she's never met. Is that not a step of faith? And why did she make it? Well, she made it because she could see how God was working. And she responded in faith, that domino effect into her life now of the faith not only of Abraham, but the faith then of the servant, and now even her own faith in going. And she goes promptly. And again, I wonder, has God put people on your heart that you're meant to go towards? And I want to ask, are you going to them? Not just are you releasing people and things that God's given you, but are you speaking to them and are you going to them? Are you moving towards the people that God has put on your heart? And then there's a fourth domino, isn't there? There's a fourth domino in this passage, and actually there are a whole bunch of them. You've got Laban, you've got the dad. Laban does this amazing blessing on her as she steps out in faith, and he blesses her, and it's no ordinary blessing. It's the kind of, our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. I tell you what, I sometimes say to people in shops after they serve me, you know, God bless you, thanks so much. And it's made me really think, blessings are a powerful thing to give. And actually to pray a blessing in faith, wow. We should do more of that again. It's a step of faith. So Laban makes this step of faith. And then ultimately we have this, as Rebecca comes back to Isaac, Isaac responds with faith to her. And they're married. And I love this little verse where it just says, so they were married. End of verse 66. She became his wife and he loved her. Husbands, love your wives. Commit to them. And let's be those who are willing to make that step of faith in loving others. But you know, as we hear in the scriptures and through others, testimonies of faith. Wasn't it great to have the testimonies last Sunday morning? People saying, I stepped out, I didn't hide my debt, I rung CAP, someone came to help me, and now I'm free. There's testimony there. And testimonies. What God has done, impact our lives. And so then it comes to us. Comes into our lives today. We are the domino today. So we hear and read the story of Abraham, and of course we've just hop, skipped, and jumped through one passage, but you imagine all that you've heard if you've been going through this journey of Abraham, and you think about the impact of Abraham's life, and then we've just seen this servant, just this beautiful character introduced to us just this once in the Bible, right here today. And then Rebecca, this woman of faith who steps out and goes. And I want to ask you this morning, what is the impact of your life? Is there any impact? Is there any influence your life is going to have on some other life? As you're looking for guidance, is it just so that you can kind of stay safe and everything's going to go okay and you're not going to have to do anything? Or are you looking for guidance because you want your life to have an impact? You want your life to touch another life. You want to leave a legacy. And you know, there's something in the dominoes, isn't there? That actually, how does a domino touch the life of another domino? Has anyone ever tried to do this? I'm sure you have. You know, if you're going to have some domino impact here, you know, there's a couple of key things, aren't there? First, you've got to be close enough to someone else. Otherwise, you're not going to hit them. Do you remember that? Times when you've tried to do this and it stops there because, you know, it just wasn't close enough. Abraham was close to the servant. The servant moved close to Rebecca and opened up his life and spoke. Rebecca moved. Came close to Isaac. Are you moving close enough to people that your life can have an impact? But then here's the other thing. If your life never falls, if there's no kind of dying to something, your life's not going to have an impact. And for each one of these in different ways, and for every person of faith, a step of faith is a dying. Usually a dying to some kind of security. To something else we're putting our trust in rather than God. So when we give, it's a dying to our trust in money and putting our trust in God. When we release, when Abraham released, it was dying to that security of having his chief servant, his trusted one around. When we speak in faith, it's that dying to that fear of what people are going to think of us. And we die to it and we speak out something of the purposes of God. When we go, it's a dying to the unknown. And with that dying comes movement. Comes a life that impacts another life and impacts another life. And my longing as I come back from Ethiopia is that God would move us as a church to be more obviously part of a movement of what he's doing. And if that's going to happen, we're going to need to keep dying to things, both personally and corporately, that other lives might be impacted. I want to illustrate this step of faith just so you don't just sort of have it up here and think, oh, that's interesting. I want to illustrate it with something that Rosie Draycott shared with us as staff a while back. It was this picture she had of a child on a table or in a tree waiting to jump into the arms of his dad. And the dad, if you're a dad, you can imagine doing this. Come on, jump, I'll catch you. You all got it clearly. Come on, jump, I'll catch you. And the child, if it kind of goes, oh, great, yes, I imagine you will do. Yeah, that's fantastic, but I'm just going to stay here. And oh, I can see your arms are strong enough and you're big enough to catch me. But, you know, and that's not faith, is it? The step of faith is not the thinking about the step of faith. It's not the kind of working it through. The step of faith is what? When the child actually jumps. That's when faith is expressed. When Abraham releases the servant. When the servant speaks to the girl. When Rebecca says, I will go. Those are the expression of their faith, the step of faith. And we've done a whole series on steps of faith. And so I want to ask you this morning, are you taking any steps of faith at the minute? Is there any aspect in your life right now where you are dying to something out of confidence in God's word or an answer to prayer or the testimony of others, and your life is touching someone else's life? I hope there is. I hope that as you're doing it, you're saying, God, please come through for me. And you're getting others to pray for you. And I hope that if there's not, that today something will change in you. Something will happen today. Maybe it's today you need to say, right, I know I've been sitting in this church maybe for the last hour and I'm stirred and I realize I need to put my faith in Jesus. I need to make a decision to say, I'm his. Maybe you've been here longer than that and you've never made that decision. Maybe you've been sitting here and you've been thinking, I've seen all these people get baptized and I know God's been speaking to me about that, but I've never, and I thought, even I did this for ages. I thought, you know what, one day I'll get baptized. That was not the step of faith. The step of faith was the day when I said, right, I'm baptized. You know that times when you think and you say, right, one day I'm going to speak to my friend about my faith. That is not the step of faith. The step of faith is when you go and you say, God, please, I just pray for an opportunity to share something about how good you are and how wonderful you are. And then God gives you that opportunity and you don't balk it, you take it. And that step of faith when you think, and maybe we think as a church, you know what, we're not just going to stay cozy. We're not just going to say, isn't it great, there's so many of us here. But we're going to go, you know what, there's some people over in that part of town or up at the campuses. And they so need God there that we're going to release people to go. We're going to even go ourselves so that others might hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to have communities that are missional that are heading out so that lives can touch other lives. And it's not just all safe and cozy. So you're taking any step of faith, my friends? Is your life a domino that is determined to be static? Or are you looking for that domino effect through your life? As the leader here, I want to say, I'm looking for that domino effect for us as a church. I'm determined that we don't just stay static and safe, but that we're willing as a church to die to things that other lives might be impacted. And I praise God as I look out for people of faith who I know are saying, yep, I'm up for that. Bit scary, but I'm up for that. Seems to be the way of Jesus, and I want to follow him, so I'm up for that. So as we just end our service this morning, think about Abraham, the servant, Rebecca, your own life, but then also that life of the person you're trying to touch. And are you willing to take steps of faith to touch and impact and influence that life for God. And so I'm just going to ask the band to come back up. Josh, if you can get on those keys. And I just wonder if we could just bow our heads. And in the stillness of this moment, as we end this series on Abraham and anticipate the series we're going to start on Titus next week, I just want to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and convict us, as he did to Abraham that he needed to do something, and to the servant that he needed to pray, to convict us, to build faith, and then to guide us in where we can express that faith even right now. So Holy Spirit, please would you just come and touch lives. Come upon us corporately, even God, and guide us and lead us, I pray.